Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry
Christmas.
The day is here. Praise the Lord.
What is grace and truth? Are we able to comprehend what grace and truth is in our day? I mean, true grace, undeserved, unconditional love. Do we know what that looks like in our world today? And truth. What in the world is truth? That question's been asked for centuries. But despite all the cynicism, and despite the lack of unconditional love, and the mix-up of what is truth in our world, there still is grace and truth. And Christmas reminds us of what true grace and truth really is. And so we praise God for this ongoing reminder of true grace and truth, unconditional love. A baby was born for you and for me and for the entire world. Talk about grace in action. And talk about truth, real truth. Because of Jesus being born, and then what that led to, we do have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We have peace. Peace did come to earth that night. Jesus was born. Talk about grace. Talk about truth. That's what we're here to celebrate this Christmas day. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3. O Lord, you are the King of heaven and earth.
We give you praise and thanks. Hallelujah.
We worship this Christmas day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Peace came to earth.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Come.
reading from Holy Scripture, from the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, speaking of grace and truth, a reminder that Jesus has always been the focal point of the Holy Scriptures and of our salvation. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be His Father, and He will be my Son"? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." In speaking of the angels, He says, "He makes His angels spirits, and His servants flames of fire." But about the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." The word of the Lord.
Oh,
Please stand for our next reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter, reminding us of the fact that Jesus is the light that this world needs, a light indeed full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Grace and truth be yours in great abundance. And this is possible because of God our Father, who kept a promise, and at the root of that promise is the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we are privileged to celebrate once again. Dear friends, a reading from Exodus 33. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, who is full of grace and truth. Who is God? Really, who is God? Aren't all gods really the same? Can we put all the gods of the world in a large shaker and then turn that shaker upside down and let all the gods spill out? And wouldn't we come up with the same God? I mean, does it really matter what God you worship? As long as you worship God, don't all gods lead to the same place and offer the same thing? Aren't all gods full of grace and truth? Well, that's what the world would like us to believe, right? And who's behind that push of the world to get us to believe that all gods are the same, and why even believe in a God? Well, Satan, who had a falling out with God, his creator. And he wants you to be miserable as he's going to be miserable for all eternity. And so nothing really makes Satan happier, along with the unbelieving world, is for people to believe the lie that all gods, if there even is a God, are the same. But as the Lord himself reminds us in Holy Scripture, our God, the God, is no ordinary God. There is none like him. There is not a God who is full of such grace and truth and justice. Part of the proof of that is, again, a reminder of what happened at Christmas and beyond. What other God promises his own Son to come into this world to save sinful human beings? The gods of this world want you to sacrifice your son and daughter. But he sacrificed his son. Talk about grace. And the gods of this world, how do they motivate people to act? Fear. You must. Or else. And even for some gods, when you do make it to that nirvana place that they talk about, that's not enough. You have to go through some more challenges to prove yourself worthy to enter heaven of heavens. But the God of the Scripture says, welcome home to his heaven, not by anything that you have to do, but rather by everything I have done through my Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Talk about grace. Undeserved love. And he motivates not by fear, but by love. 1 John reminds us that God is love. And he calls us out of love to love one another. For love comes from God. We cannot be of God and not love one another. But loving one another is not being dismissive of sinful actions. Loving one another means that we will call out such actions as the Lord God calls us out. Because he is a God of justice. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. God, our God, is not blind to what is going on in this world. He is patient, but his patience does run out. He does not hide that fact. The guilty will be punished. But Scripture also reminds us that God does not take pleasure in punishing the wicked, because he wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And so we too do not take pleasure in having to punish or speak of punishment when it comes to our sins. But it's necessary for proper healing. And for us who at times think that God is too patient, and why not zap people now? Well, again, his intent is that people come to repentance and the truth. And a time will come when he will hand out his just punishment. He is no ordinary God. He is not sleeping. He's not a piece of wood or a piece of metal or some stone that you got to offer your child to, or other bloody sacrifices to, or go through a whole bunch of hoopla to get that God's attention. His attention is ours 24/7. And he reminds us that his ears are attentive to the righteous. And he has done something to make all people righteous. Christmas. For God is a God of grace and truth. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's who God is. This is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, the gospel in a nutshell. Our God is no ordinary God. He is compassionate, and praise God that he is, because not a one of us deserves his compassion and his patience and his mercy, and yet he displays it to us at Christmas, on the cross, through the empty tomb. Day after day, his mercies and compassion are new for you, for thousands. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He is not a vindictive God looking for people to send down lightning bolts on. He is looking for opportunities to seek and to save the lost. He wants us to take the message of Christmas time and not just have it in our own hearts, but also share that message from the rooftops so that others can come to know who is the true God. That he is not like the gods of this world. This God, our God, is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and rich in love, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And yet, he will not overlook it. And in these words, then, we also have a reminder of how important it is to set the example for the next generation. Because what happens in one generation too often has a long-lasting effect for generations to come. There's a reason why the Lord in Scripture has said repeatedly, tell the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord to the next generation. We know what happens in our country when we don't pass on history lessons. We forget about history, and so we lose our appreciation of this country. It's really no different when it comes to the Scriptures. If we don't pass on the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and explain to people that our God is no ordinary God, we can easily lose sight, the next generation, on who this God is and why he matters. But thankfully, though we may be short in proclaiming the name of the Lord to the generations, his name will endure. But that doesn't take away the responsibility and the opportunity we have to tell the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord to the generations to come, to leave them a lasting legacy as individuals and collectively. And we can do that through our words and also through our actions. If we truly believe that our God is no ordinary God, how is that evident in your life, in your day-to-day walk of life? Is he your God just on Sunday? Just at Christmas, and maybe Easter we'll throw in there? Or is he your God every day? He doesn't move, but we might move from him. He doesn't want that from us. And so he reminds us through a variety of means, some not so pleasant and some pleasant, that he is to be the focal point, that this life is temporary, and we're living for something else, something greater. And Christmas is the answer to how that something greater can become ours. God kept that promise. Jesus indeed came, taking on human flesh. Again, no ordinary God. The Son of God leaving his throne above to take on human flesh to be made lower than the angels so that we could have salvation. What God does that? Our God does. The God of the Scriptures. He did that so that we could have true peace with God, our Creator God. Not just here on earth, but forever in heaven. And so Christmas indeed is a great time to celebrate the fact that this is no ordinary message and this is no ordinary God. He stands out in this world. And he calls us to call in his name and to help others see how he is no ordinary God. So may this Christmas day not just be another one in your life, but another one that cements your relationship with this God and inspires you all the more to continually live for him and tell others about him. This God who is full of grace and truth. There is truth. Merry Christmas. Amen. We continue with our next song. We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Each and every one of you, go in peace and live your life in joy and with confidence. For through Jesus Christ, you are at peace with God. Amen. Let us continue singing Away in a Manger. Majestic is your name in all the earth.
I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Thank you.
Now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives.
Amen.
Great things he has done indeed. Merry Christmas to you once again. May you have an enjoyable Christmas. And just remember the grace and peace that are yours. Thanks to the Christmas message. A Savior has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord. We have worship services tomorrow morning at 8 and 10:45, and then New Year's Eve, reflecting on past blessings and giving thanks for present. And we know the Lord will continue to give us blessings. May open our eyes to those blessings. New Year's Eve service at 5 o'clock. Before we go today, just one more song, and we're going to sing it twice. It really wraps up the whole grace and truth message. It's on the back page.
Merry Christmas.